This is Report to Wyoming.
This show targets local issues that matter right here in Natrona County, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so I sat down with a member of the nonprofit Bosom Buddies to talk about breast prosthetics and the free option that she and her team knits for cancer survivors. Her name is Lauren Groves.
Bosom Buddies started, first of all, just let me say that I am one small part of Bosom Buddies. We have a group that works together, and we have different people that perform different functions, and they're all very important. But we started Bosom Buddies about 10 years ago, and we started at a yarn shop that is no longer open here, Dancing Sheep, and someone had found a pattern for breast prosthetics and said, hey, I want to try these. And we said, well, we need to make sure that it's something somebody really will use, not just like some little crochet poodle toilet paper cover that your grandma knits for you, you know.
Sure, yeah. We wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Well, I'm a grandma.
So I'm not insulting any grandmother. So I'm a grandma myself. So, but we wanted to make sure that we didn't just knit up a whole bunch of these bosoms and then people were like, hey, these don't really work. So we found someone that had a double mastectomy, knitted bosoms for her. And I actually knitted the first pair that we did. And she tried them out and had some suggestions to make for us about how to make them work a little bit better. And we listened to that, changed the pattern that we found on the internet, adapted it, and made it our own. We've changed that a few times, made it easier for our knitters to knit, and came up with Bosom Buddies. And so we were giving them out just to people that would come in the yarn shop or people that we were able to get the word to. But the Casper's Star Tribune did a story on us that was like front page paper on a Sunday morning. And after that, the calls just started coming up. It was picked up by a wire service, and we started getting calls from Wyoming, but also from all over the country. So that was where we really got serious and knew that we had to get nonprofit status and, you know, go through make file to get that done and do some of those things. So that was kind of our beginning, and we have been very active and busy with passing out bosoms ever since then.
And the last 10 years has just flown by, I'm guessing.
Yes, it has.
Wow.
It has.
Now, I'm a 90s baby, and when I'm Googling Bosom Buddies, I was surprised to find all of these pictures come up of Tom Hanks in drag.
Right, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's funny that you mentioned that, because when people ask how to get in touch with us, I always say, go to our Facebook page. It's Bosom Buddies of Wyoming. If you just put Bosom Buddies in, you get the Tom Hanks sitcom from way back.
Which then led me down a whole YouTube rabbit hole. I'm like, what? I had no idea about this. How did you come up with the name for Bosom Buddies of Wyoming?
Do you know one of our very first, the woman who owned, Charlotte Kenner, who owned the yarn shop, came up with the name of that. There are some other groups that do similar things to what we do that have other, I guess, sassier names. But we just really like the name Bosom Buddies because it kind of portrays that we want to be a friend to people at a time, a buddy to them when they really need it. You know, a lot of women that are going through breast cancer and treatment for it just need a friend. And so Bosom Buddies kind of portrays that we are people who care and we want to help. So that's how we have come up with that name, and we're really happy with it. We think it expresses what we do.
It is really neat that you could foster this sense of like friendship or sisterhood even for this community. It's so vulnerable, I feel like, for the people who choose to go with a prosthetic. Has anyone talked to you about what that means to them?
Numerous times. And it it's so touching, the responses that we've gotten from women. Many of them, some of them, don't have insurance and couldn't afford prosthetics. And, you know, we've gotten people that said, you know, I was wearing a knotted up pair of socks in my bra, or I was wearing pantyhose, or going without and feeling embarrassed, you know, and not comfortable in their clothes. And they have said it means the world to me. Or some people that wore the prescription prosthetics and they were uncomfortable, and now they can wear something that is comfortable and that doesn't chafe their skin. It doesn't get hot in the summertime when they're out and active. And so we have gotten wonderful feedback from people. I sent a pair of Bosom Buddies to someone a few weeks ago, and she wrote me, actually contacted me through the Facebook page and said, can you send me another pair? I had just gotten my mastectomy when I first got my Bosom Buddy, so I let my mom wear them because she had breast cancer also. And my mom likes them so much that I can't get them back from her, so would you send me a pair for myself? They both happen to wear the same size. So that was kind of we get affirmations all the time from people that we're helping.
Oh, that's amazing. Talk to me about the product itself. What specific is our certain yarn that works best? How do you tell me about the design of this?
Okay, that's very important. We have some people that knit for us, but we don't let people go buy their own yarn because we have found the perfect yarn that we use for our Bosom Buddies. It is mostly cotton, and it's washable, machine washable, dryable, very soft and smooth against the skin. And so that's what we knit the bosoms out of. Then we stuff them with a real soft fiber fill. And that makes a soft, comfortable bosom that's breathes pretty easily because of the cotton, so it doesn't get hot in the summertime, and throw it in the washer and dryer and you're good.
Oh, you can just toss them right in. I was going to ask if they're machine washable.
Yep.
Oh, that's really cool. Do you guys have a lot of fun with just the idea of knitting bosoms? That's, to me, it's like playful. And when you look at all these pictures of this like kind of private or sometimes sexualized body part, it would be impossible. I mean, it's a very serious subject, but it's impossible not to have a little fun with just the idea of a basket of, for lack of a better word, like knitted boobs.
Right, right. Well, we do have fun with it, but we try, you know, we don't want to make too light of it because it's a serious thing for the people who have had breast cancer. And so we don't poke too much fun at it, but we have had funny things that have happened. Like I was knitting them one time while I was waiting to get called in for a doctor's appointment, and someone said to me, do you know what that looks like that you're knitting? It's like I was unaware of how obscene it was or whatever. But that just gave me a chance to explain about that. And then we have a woman who is in Denver and requested a pair, and so we knitted the pair for her, and she called us back a few months later and said, can you get me, it was a pair of B's. And she called back a few months later and said, can you get me, make me a pair of C's? And we said, well, yeah, did the B's not work? What was, you know, we're happy to get you that. And she said, no, I'm going to Vegas.
So I knew that's where this was going.
She was wanting her size C's for that. So there are some kind of funny things that have occurred. But it, to us, you know, it becomes such a common object because we work on them a lot, spend hours and hours and get them stuffed just right. You know, sometimes we're kind of rough with them when we're stuffing them, that it becomes so common we forget that it might look odd to someone else. So, yeah.
Now, I've noticed on your site you have a variety of shapes, colors, sizes. Was it always that way?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've actually narrowed our color choice because when we first started, we wanted to be really sensitive to people of different skin colors. And we also thought, well, this is a serious time. We'll knit some really funny colored ones to cheer people up. So we knit purple and pink ones. We knit them in sports team colors. We had a 4th of July one that was red, white, and blue, and, you know, a set of them. And what we found, back then we were distributing them at the yarn shop, people would come in and they thought those colored ones were funny and cute, but that's not what they wanted, because they're going to be wearing them every day. They've got to go under clothes. And so then, so we settled on some different shades of like a light, real light color and a chocolate brown and a tan. But what we have finally ended up doing is kind of a neutral, would work for anybody, shade of kind of a dark tan that does not show under clothing very much. It's going to be the most inconspicuous. So we knit them all in that color now. Now, we would be happy to knit if someone, and we have done that before, someone wanted a pair of Minnesota Vikings bosom buddies one time. We knitted that. Someone really liked purple. We knitted that. But generally, we distribute these in a color that we think is going to show the least under clothing.
Now, besides finding you on your Facebook, or do you guys have a website?
We don't have a website.
Okay, so it would be Facebook. But then around town, where might they see Bosom Buddies?
Well, that has been something that has really been a big change for us in the last few years. Initially, we were associated with a yarn shop and distributed bosoms there. And that was kind of our central headquarters. But that yarn shop closed. We went to another yarn shop. That yarn shop closed. We went to another one and moved with them several times. They were very supportive and helpful for us. But finally, that closed. And when that happened, we thought, well, Bosom Buddies has been great. We've helped a lot of people, but all good things must come to an end. We'll just hand out the bosoms that we've got to the cancer centers that we supply with bosoms, and this will be the end. Well, that month we got a request for like 30 Bosom Buddies, and we thought, if we can figure out a way to make this work without having a yarn shop, let's try it as long as we can. Let's keep going. As long as there's a demand, we'll figure out a way to meet it. So we have our bosoms are all stored in a person's home, and we have our meetings in that home. We mail from that. That's our little headquarters now. That has a phone number and an address, and we no longer work through the yarn store. So we thought probably this is just going to fizzle out. But in fact, because we got more active on the Facebook postings, we're handing out more bosoms than we ever had. So it has, that's been our point of contact. Occasionally there will be someone who will call and say, I don't do any Facebook, but my friend told me about this. Will you send me a pair of Bosom Buddies? And great. You know, that's a great way to contact. And then we, like there was a last Saturday at Outpatient Radiology, they had a screening event. It was brunch and breast health. And they did a lot of screenings for women there, and we'll have an information table there. We also, the way we distribute mostly in Wyoming now is that we have our Bosom Buddies at the different cancer centers throughout the state. And I have my only notes for this are, I have had to list them because I can't remember them all, but we have them here in Casper at Rocky Mountain Oncology, and there's another Rocky Mountain Oncology in Lander. We have them there. We have them in Gillette, Campbell County Cancer Center, Lander, Rock Springs, Kemmerer, Jackson, Laramie, and Cheyenne. We give out a lot of bosoms at the Cheyenne Regional Cancer Center because we have a really good partner there that helps us get them distributed. So that's how we distribute the bosoms mostly now. You know, normally we used to give them out pair at a time at the yarn store, and now we distribute them throughout the state, and those people help us get them to people who need them.
I'm picturing just a big room full of women knitting. Who's on this team?
There are about 10 of us, and we usually don't get together to knit them. We get together to make decisions about what do we need to do to spread the word more, what do we need to do to get more knitters, what do we need to do to get money, and that kind of thing. Those are what our meetings are about. But the knitting is mostly done by individual knitters that just in their spare time knit bosoms. We've had a lot of our knitters are just wonderful knitters. They knit sweaters and beautiful caps and gloves and mittens and things like that. But they give up knitting, a lot of that knitting, so that they can knit these bosom buddies for people. And we just appreciate that. We have one knitter in Green River who knits for us, and we mail her supplies, and she mails us back bosoms. We have a lot of people here in Casper that knit.
And so would the Facebook be a good place to get a hold of you for people who are thinking, oh, I'd love to do that?
Yes, that would be a great place, yes. I check that every day. So if someone messages me on Facebook, we also have an email address, which is on our it's on our Facebook page if you wanted to email, and then a phone number. So, yeah.
Well, sadly, I don't know how to knit, but I'm sure someone out here or someone listening might be interested, so it's good to know that.
Well, one way I'm going to mention something about that. One of our best, most helpful, wonderful Bosom Buddies members doesn't knit, and she's helped us with a lot of administrative things, helped us with mailing bosoms, helped us get the word out to people. And anybody who hears about this, if you know someone who's had breast cancer and, you know that they're struggling with their prosthetic or they don't have insurance, send them our way. Have them contact us through our Facebook page or phone or email, and we'll be happy to help, because telling other people about us really helps a lot.
Yeah, 10 years is a long time, but I didn't know about this. How did you get started initially? I know I asked you how you came up with the name and the concept, but what does Bosom Buddies mean to you? How did you become involved involved?
One thing that was motivational to me is that my mother was a breast cancer survivor. She's passed away, nothing to do with breast cancer, but she had always was real particular about how she dressed and loved clothes and fixed up really nice. And when she had her mastectomy, she also had a lot of radiation, and it made her skin very sensitive. So she had a breast prosthetic, but she couldn't wear it. She couldn't tolerate that silicone next to her skin. And so she would try to wear it for short periods of time, but it ended up sitting in a drawer, and Mom ended up just wearing real big baggy clothes so it wouldn't show that she didn't have one of her breasts. She would have loved Bosom Buddies. She would have loved this. And it's interesting because when I call cancer centers and talk to them about what we do and ask them, you know, if they're interested in helping us distribute them, I mention this story about my mother to people, and I have had so many people say that happened with my mom, or my grandmother couldn't wear her prosthetic. And, you know, prosthetics work great for a lot of people. There are people who choose to get reconstructive surgery, and that's great, and we're happy that that works for people. But there are women who have trouble, who want to wear a prosthetic, but have trouble tolerating the prescription ones, and we work well for them. We're able to help them in this little small portion of supporting and helping breast cancer survivors. This is our little niche. You know, some of the women that wear the Bosom Buddies don't wear them all the time. There are women that wear them when they go swimming because they don't want to get their prescription bosoms in a chlorine pool. Or maybe they're heavier, and the Bosom Buddies work well for that. Or maybe they wear them just when they're outside playing golf in the summertime or doing something that's real hot and sweaty, working in the garden. And we're just happy to help anybody. We have provided them to plastic surgeons. So, and for sometimes when women are waiting to get reconstructive surgery, they'll use the Bosom Buddies in the meantime. That seems to work well for them. So there are a lot of people, a lot of different people that use Bosom Buddies. We hear a lot from women, though, that end up using the Bosom Buddies. Finally, this is something that I can wear that's comfortable, that works for me. And that's just kind of what we're about. It's, you know, it's something that people put on every single day. So it's part of their quality of life on a daily basis. If it's uncomfortable, and we can do something that makes it more comfortable.
Do you have a mantra?
Mantra. When we first started getting huge demand, when the Casper Star Tribune ran the article in the paper, when we started getting a big demand, all of a sudden we were just mailing stuff everywhere. We've just always said, you know, we will fill the need. However, we can do this. So even if we get big orders, we just work really hard, drop all our other knitting. This last year, I have hardly knitted anything except for bosoms, because we've had a lot of times when we've had big demands for that. And we just want to be there for people and help them, you know.
Any predictions on how many bosoms you distribute per month?
No, and that's so odd. A couple of months ago, we had in July and August, we didn't distribute. We had no requests for bosoms, and I'd done Facebook posts, nothing. So we had a Bosom Buddy meeting and said, you know, we need to think, maybe it's time for us to wind down. How can we get the word out more just to make sure that people know about us? The day after that meeting, I did a Facebook post, and in the next week, we sent out like 35 packages of bosoms, and they each had a pair of bosoms in them. And so it's very erratic. I had just told our knitters, hey, you guys can take a break, you know, work on something else for a while. And then all of them went out the door. So it is kind of erratic, but we've given out more so far this year than we ever have. We've given out over, I don't know the exact number right now, but I was hoping we would give away 200 this year, and we are already well over 200. So.
Oh, wow. And then I noticed you guys do caps sometimes, too?
We used to do that. We have not done that lately. In the last year, we've kind of stopped doing the chemo caps simply because we've had such a demand for the bosoms. And it takes a while to knit them. It probably takes, you know, some knitters are faster than others, and plus it just depends on what size bosom you're knitting, but it takes probably three hours or so to knit one bosom, and so that's a lot of knitting, maybe even 4 hours, depending on the size. Of course, the A's don't take very long to knit. The D's take a little bit longer. We had a woman who requested size G bosom, and that one took quite a while. We had two knitters working on that one. One was doing one of them, one was doing the other, so we had a pair. So, you know, it just depends. But we mostly focus on the bosoms now.
How has being so involved in the cancer community affected your life?
I tell you one thing it's done is I've had contact with professionals in the cancer community, and there are so many people doing so much to help people. They work hard on prevention. The screening that they did last Saturday at the outpatient radiology was just amazing, an amazing event that's working on prevention, treatment, supporting women when they're going through the treatment. You know, what we do is a tiny little part of that that affects the quality of life of lives of cancer survivors, but there's so many people in the cancer community that are working to help women. One group that has really been helpful to us is Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative, And it is a group in Wyoming that raises funds and distributes those funds to help cancer patients and survivors. And they just, there is a whole spectrum of services that they support and help. And one of them is Bosom Buddies. So we're very appreciative of them, of their help for us.
Where does your inspiration come from?
The women that we hear from when they get the Bosom Buddies that say, this is so perfect, thank you, this has been a problem for me, it's solved now, that just kind of keeps us going. And we hear that, you know, sometimes we'll send bosoms to women and not hear back from them, and that's fine. They've got stuff going on in their lives, you know. A lot of them are still undergoing chemotherapy, and we're not doing this to get people to give us good stories or tell us thank you. But when that does happen, that keeps us going. Also, a lot of the bosoms that we distribute now, we don't distribute directly to people because they go out through the cancer centers. But when we hear back from people, that just keeps us going.
What's your vision for the future of Bosom Buddies?
Well, I just want to make sure, first of all, the primary part of our mission is for women in Wyoming. And I want to make sure that I don't ever run into anybody and ask them, have you heard of Bosom Buddies, and have them say, no, I haven't heard of them. I want everybody to know that this is available so that, you know, if you hear about it and you don't have cancer or you don't know somebody who has cancer right then, you may forget about it. But then when that occurs, if that occurs in people's lives, I want them to know that they can get help from us. So I guess that is a big goal. We primarily work in Wyoming, and the money that we got, the grant that we got from Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative supports that mission. But also we've had a lot of requests from women in other states. So we've done one fundraiser and raised money, and that money goes to women in other states across the country. And we've sent them all over the place. California, Maine, Florida, you know, north, south, all throughout the country. And as long as we have the money to support that and are able to, along with supporting women in Wyoming, we will keep doing that.
What's one thing that you would want people to know about breast cancer?
Wow. I guess I went to an event recently, it was a year ago, and I heard a speaker talking about how many women, younger women, they are having coming in. This was a doctor that was treating cancer, and he said, we've had a lot of younger women come in that had cancer that was pretty advanced, and they would have been easier to treat, and it would have been much easier for them had it been detected sooner. So I guess the big thing that has been impressed upon me is that getting your screening, getting a mammogram once a year when it's time for you, you know, when you reach the age where you need to do that, that needs to be not something that people put at the bottom of the list. You know, that needs to be a priority.
At the end of this interview, I wanted to look at some breast cancer statistics to be more in the know about what it is. And I found out from breastcancer.org that about 1 in 8 U.S. women, which is about 13%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. In 2022, an estimated 287,850 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in women in the United States, along with 51,400 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer. About 2,700 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in men in 2022. A man's lifetime risk of breast cancer is about 1 in 833. About 43,000 women in the United States are expected to die this year from breast cancer. Death rates have been steady in women under 50 since 2007, but have continued to drop in women over 50. The overall death rate from breast cancer decreased by 1% per year from 2013 to 2018. These decreases are thought to be the result of treatment advances and earlier detection through screening. For women in the United States, breast cancer death rates are higher than those for any other cancer.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.